Tonight I want to speak about the difference between the power of God and the Holy Spirit. There's a big difference. And I want you to catch this, because people have been deceiving themselves, thinking that when they have the Holy Spirit, they've got power. I know you're silent, maybe thinking, where is he going? And I'll prove it out of Scripture. Nothing that I do will violate Scripture. But we see in the church where people say, I can pray in other tongues, and they are truly baptized with the Holy Spirit, but there's no power that is present. And this came to me when I was preparing for Cape Town. And I was preparing for Cape Town, and we were doing the last evening there, and we were packed out there as well. And same locations, we have the same amounts of people. Cape Town's a bigger building, of course, but we had, I think we had 600 people here. We had close to 600 in Krugersdorp, but the building there is just a bit smaller. And we had 600 in Cape Town. And obviously over the different evenings, there's different people coming, so it goes more than that. But I was preparing for this. I was just preparing for the evening, and I was watching churches live streaming, different churches, and I'm not there to specifically speak of a church or anything like that. I'll never do it. But I was watching churches, great churches, small churches, mega churches. I saw many of them laying hands, and I saw the activity of laying hands, but I saw the power being missing. So just stay with me. Are you guys with me? Because there's something called to be anointed with power, and there's a day of power that will come to you, but it has to be waited upon. So the Bible doesn't say when we are baptized, we get power. It says when you wait and tarry, you get power. And many churches made a mistake, and that's why they're going and they're saying, but we speak in tongues, so we have the power of the Holy Spirit. But there's no power in their lives. There's no power in their finances. There's no power in their influence. There's no power when they open their mouths and speak. Are you guys with me? There's no power when they pray for people to be healed. There's no power when they try to cast out devils. There's no power when they lay hands on people. It is a soft gesture of just gently praying for somebody. And we have moved from Pentecostalism to just compromising. And we're laying hands. We don't have a problem with the laying hands, but power is missing. And the moment somebody moves an authentic power, they begin to call them false. Are you guys with me? So there's a lot of call-out ministries right now on the internet, and a lot of people that are calling out other people. And it has always been there. It's just that people are now becoming more visible to the internet, or more exposed to the internet. That's the only thing. So somebody was fighting me before I got on here to say, that guy is preaching about angels. I am very concerned. So I respond back, and they did it on a big channel. And I responded back and I said, just now, like just before I came, and I'm like, okay, hold on, you're literally, so I said, so is it okay to preach, so it's not okay to preach on angels, but demonology you have no problem on, because obviously you're answering this on a channel that focuses on demonology, and person answers back, yes, I don't have a problem with demonology, but I'm concerned about angels. So I said, I need to understand what are you saying. You're saying we're not allowed to preach on angels, but demons you are okay with. I said, this is what religion has done. Do you know there's more about angels in Scripture than there is about demons? There's more about angels in Scripture than there is about many other subjects. I think there's over 320 times the Bible mentions angels. Angels are ministering spirits. So people glorified, and we have no problem with demons. We cast out devils. We do demonology courses. We do demonology advanced and all that stuff. But churches are scared to touch on angelology, because they say the moment you do, you're in angel worship. What nonsense is it? Are you guys with me? No angel of God will allow you to worship them. And if that angel allows you to worship them, you've just encountered a demon, not an angel. No angel will receive your worship. Don't get scared of angel worship. That's why Christians don't have encounters with angels. Because angels know, oh my gosh, the moment I appear to this person, they're going to think I'm a demon. I'm serious. And we have polluted our mind and indoctrinated our mind to see a demon behind every bush and not see angels and the presence of God. Because the way things have been preached to you and taught you is the way that you live. And you know what? We'll be demonized. And I said, listen, don't demonize what God hasn't. I answered the person. And then they began to attack me, of course. You know, how dare you attack me on you? I'm like, you commented. You know, this thing, people are allowed to comment, but the moment a minister answers, then he's arrogant. No, shut up. Social media has become very toxic. It's affected the church, affected, pulled people away from the church, brought other voices into the church, has allowed other voices to come to people, has allowed them to be pulled away from their local pastors, where their pastors have preached tithing and they believed in tithing and their whole lives are well. All of a sudden, some Creflo Dollar gets the latest revelation. Tithing is not anymore. After he's got his jets, after he's got everything. And I have nothing against him. I have nothing against prosperity. But don't come and mess people's minds up because you suddenly got a revelation and you're just talking what is on your mind. So there are different perspectives. You will find many different streams and rivers in the body of Christ. No one river has the full truth. No one stream has the full truth. But we must be mature to know not to be taken by every wind of doctrine. To have a balance and to know, but this, and this is the church where I am, this is the church that I trust, not an online voice. And I know we are also online voices, and there's people that began to follow us and obviously left their local churches. But we do our best, we try our best, and we always promote the local church and everything that we do. Because confusion, the moment you change streams or rivers, you begin to get confused. God is not a God of confusion. So when we teach here, and I'm realizing, we've always went into controversial subjects. It was okay, we didn't really, but the moment you get online, it's just your audience is getting broader. So things are getting trickier. So I said to the person, I said, so I'm not allowed to preach on angels. You're concerned about angels, but you're okay with demonology. Something is not right upstairs. There's nothing wrong to teach on angels. In fact, Paul taught on them. The New Testament is full of them. And in no way are we, and just because we mention angels doesn't mean we are replacing Christ and taking the focus of Christ. Are you guys with me? So Christians have lost a lot of power, revelation, because they are scared to hear or scared to touch on a topic. Simply it's because it's been demonized to them from young. So when the disciples, after Jesus' resurrection, he appeared to them in a closed room. And when they saw him, they thought it was a ghost. Because their mind is telling them, and what they've been taught all those years, in that, especially in that they understood a teaching of ghosts. It was a thing back then. Are you guys with him? So they thought he was a ghost. He was not real. And he said to them, listen here, I am flesh and bones. A ghost, a spirit does not have flesh and bones. And he says, look here, feel here, touch here. And they still didn't believe. So even Jesus struggled to change their mindset. Because they saw something supernatural, and the first thing they jumped to is by calling it evil. When they saw him walking on the waters in the storm, they cried out and they thought it was a ghost. So when the first thing they saw that went beyond their realm, that went into a place of the unknown, fear came in. So Jesus said to them, do not fear, when he was in the room, and they gave him food and he ate. And the moment he ate the food, they realized it was him. But it took him convincing. And the Bible says, and I'll get into it a little bit next week, is saying how fear arrived out of their thoughts. And doubt aroused out of their thoughts. How fear came out of their minds. Because someone preached something wrong to them. It limited their thinking in experiencing the supernatural. And the moment they experienced another realm of the supernatural, the only thing they could scream was that it is evil and it is ungodly. How did it look when Moses took a stick and he threw it on the floor, a rod, and it turned into a snake? Yet nobody calls it witchcraft afterwards. But if there was Christians around him, they would have screamed he was a sorcerer. Are you guys with me? Hitting the rock and the water comes out. Elisha telling the prophets to get some things, flour to put into the pot, putting salt in the water to clean it. That's witchcraft. And we have misunderstood, or we have boxed up the power of God to say God can only move like this, not in any other way. It is my Pentecostal belief. It is how I've been brought up. That is the only way how God can move. And if anything outside of that, I call it evil and I demonize it. You will never move in the power of the Holy Ghost, because God will be unable to use a person, because the moment he's going to try to use them, they're going to call it evil. When the Holy Spirit uses you, when he anoints you with power, oh my gosh. Listen here, where there is true, authentic power, people will always call it evil. Jesus himself said, beware when all men speak well of you. Meaning, don't be a ministry where everybody is approving and you have everybody's approval. No, 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 no. Be in a place where people can begin to call you. You're doing it by the power of Beelzebub, like they said to Jesus. And the first thing they will always question about power is the source of that power. Where did he get that power? Where did he get that anointing? That is coming from the devil. No, no, no. The Pharisees and the Sadducees also used and accused the same thing. Are you guys with me? So say with me, the Holy Spirit, and say power. So we're going to get into that. Those who are watching, I want to ask you just to press thumbs up on YouTube. Share it, press the like button. We are only on YouTube and our other platforms, but our public platform is YouTube. So just share the broadcast, click the thumbs up, and tonight we're going to pray for people's finances. We're going to pray for you online as well. But I want to touch on this. And in Cape Town, when I was preaching on this, it also came out, and I was preaching on how we command and instruct angels. And the people were rejoicing. It is just people that don't understand that, like, how can you command angels? Just because, you know, one thing I realized, if somebody preaches something and I don't understand, I just choose and say, I don't understand. I don't attack. Because it might just be that God has not revealed the scripture to me and open up the scripture. So we have that teaching where David says, bless the Lord, O my soul, Psalm 103 verse 1. And he commands and instructs his soul to bless God. And then we see verse 20 uses the same grammatical structure where he says, bless the Lord, O his holy angels. And he commands the angels to bless God. And he says, who do his word. So we can instruct and command angels, but only by his word. They get strength by his word. They give heed to his word. Are you guys with me? They're listening to find out, is the word of God in your mouth? Is the sound and the tone of God in your mouth? What comes out of your mouth, is it the words, so that it can give us instruction on where to go? So 1 Corinthians 2 verse 16, put it on the screen for me, 2 verse 16 or 7, 2 verse 16, let's go to 2 verse 16. For it says, for who has known the mind of the Lord? Say with me, the mind of the Lord. That he may instruct God what to do. Please listen to this. Because you need to understand the concept of the mind of Christ. I didn't touch on this part this morning. And before I get in the message, I just want to share this. For who has known, Paul is saying, who has known the mind of the Lord, that he has the ability to tell God what to do? Say, instruct him. It's a capital H. Are you guys with me? So Paul is saying the one who has the mind of the Lord can tell God what to do. Why? But then he answers this. He says, but we have the mind of Christ. We have the mind of the anointed. He was answering himself. He says, when you carry the mind of the anointed, the mind of Christ, you can step into a realm where you can begin, and I don't want to say it arrogantly to say you can instruct God what to do, but you get into a place where you're in partnership. And the Bible says that God is, he exalts his word above himself. So now you begin to command the works of his hands. Now you begin to remind him of his promises. Now you are like Moses, where Moses says, Lord, repent from your anger and do not kill this people. And the Bible has the audacity to say that the Lord repented from his anger. So why does God listen to the one who has the mind of Christ? Because we need to get into the subject of Christ. And I'm not going to teach very deep on it because it can be taken out of context. But we need to get into the subject of Christ. The Bible says if you serve a God, if you worship a God that is not in Christ, you're worshiping a false God. Are you guys with me? And we have taught on that in Colossians, I believe it's 2 or 3. It says that everything is in Christ. Even the fullness of the Godhead is in Christ. And that if you serve a God outside of Christ, it is not God. So that tells you that Christ is the number one. Are you guys with me? But God is he has no beginning, he has no end. He has, you're absolutely right. But we need to understand God. Who was first, God or Christ? Even though God doesn't have a beginning and the end, the Bible says, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And then the Word was God. So you see this marriage of Christ, the Word and God. But you see, in the beginning was the Word. In the beginning of everything was Christ. And we serve a God that is in Christ. And then Paul goes on and he says, listen, but we have the mind of Christ, that now we can step into a place to begin to instruct. Are you guys with me? And then he goes further, he says, and what is this mystery? That Christ is in you, the hope of glory. Which means it's no longer I who live, but it is Christ that dwells inside of me. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. And people haven't come to the revelation of the Christ. They haven't come to the revelation when we are born again, we are born from above. When you receive the mind of Christ, you are done away with a darkened mind, with a fallen and a fleshly mind. You have taken the mind of the Spirit, the mind of Christ, the mind of the anointed. Are you guys with me? I'm not going to get too much deep into that. People don't understand their identity. People are saying, oh, the only scripture that when we said the mind of God, the only scripture we know is his thoughts are higher than his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. That's Old Testament. He was speaking to Isaiah. He wasn't speaking to Christians. Are you guys with me? How did Moses know the ways of God without knowing the thoughts of God? He had the mind. So the mind, and then the Bible says, let this mind that is be in you, that was also in Christ Jesus. So there was a mind in Christ. It was not Christ's mind. There was a mind that Christ possessed, which is the same mind Moses possessed, because he knew the ways of God. It was a mind that Abraham had. And this is the mind that Paul is saying we as believers should have. The mind of the anointed. Are you guys with me? When you look at the mind, it is an entity. It is something that is alive. It is the brain of your spirit. As your brain is to your body, your mind is to your spirit. As the brain is to the central nervous system and the central nervous system is to the body, so the mind is to the soul and the soul is to the spirit. So a lot of people's souls are damaged and their central nervous system, it's like their central nervous system. What happens when your central nervous system goes as damaged? You begin to lose touch. You lose feeling. So people's souls are damaged, so they no longer feel the presence of God. They no longer feel the pain of people. They no longer have the heart of God. So there's a disconnect between their mind and their spirit because their soul is damaged. When people's central nervous system is damaged, there's a disconnect between their brain and their body. Are you guys with me? So when you look at the full makeup of the spiritual man, you see the mind, you see the soul, and you see the spirit. You look like you know all this stuff. It is okay. Because we have fed our spirits, but not our minds. And Christians have fed their spirits. They are praying how many hours a day? They are doing all this stuff, but they are not feeding their mind. And the Bible says the only way you can feed your mind is by renewing your mind first. But before you renew your mind, you must present your body a living sacrifice. As you present your body, the Bible, it means that you take this body and you put it in the local church and make it a reasonable service unto God. Outside of that, your mind cannot be renewed. So you take your body and you present it to God by putting it in a local service in a local church. Not this nonsense that I am the church. No. Nowhere is it in Scripture. Christ has extended himself into the ministries of the fivefold, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. And he has established it in the local church to be part of his body. So that when people are part of the local church, they are part of Christ. And the only way I could serve him is by being in a local church. So I present my body by putting my body in the local church. So I find myself walking past a door, and I realize, okay, but I need to be a greeter by the door. Or I need to clean the church. Or I need to find a way to serve with my body. And the moment I do it, he says, present your bodies a holy sacrifice. Do not be conformed to this world. Meaning, do not take on the nature of this age. Do not take on the belief system of this age. Are you guys with me? Then he says, but be ye transformed. Be changed. And the word there, be changed, means you change yourself. You transform yourself. By how? By the renewing of your mind. Take your mind back to factory settings. I don't know if you guys are with me. When you're on your phone, a lot of times you upgrade, but there's sometimes an error that comes or a mistake and you can't get the phone fixed unless you reset it back to factory settings. What happens when we renew, we take our mind back to the mind that Adam had, the mind that a child had before it was infected and influenced by this age? The only way that I do it is by presenting my body, getting myself out of this age, and I get into the Word, and I take the Word, and the Bible says, by the washing of the Word, my soul is being saved. By the washing of the Word, my central nervous system that connects my mind and my body is being saved, because my mind is being renewed. It is being fresh. It is taken back. So when I take the Word and I get into it and I read and I sit in a good church and I sit under revelation and I get the right Word in, it cleans my mind and it takes it back to a child. Now I can build correctly. Are you guys with me? So now I renew my mind. And as I renew my mind, I go back to the mind of a child. You can tell a child an angel is there and they believe you. You tell a 40-year-old Christian an angel is there and they call you a heretic. Their mind has been polluted, religionized. Are you guys with me? I hope people are with me. So now I begin to carry the mind of Christ. Many Christians don't renew their minds. And the Bible says the only way you can change yourself, how you can upgrade your life, is by renewal. So what are we doing when we are teaching to you on Sundays? You might not get the teaching that we do here at a lot of other churches. I understand. But we are renewing your mind. People can scream false until they can scream false until they sit with us and we really, you see, you cannot, a prophetic ministry, the rawness comes out. When something is birthed, it comes out. I don't come with a polished teaching. It comes out here most of the times. When do you see me looking at notes? It comes out here. And we take that risk to be called a heretic, but in order to bring fresh revelation to you. Are you guys with me? So we have to wash our brains when it comes to angels. We have to wash our brains when it comes to certain religious dogma. When it comes to doctrines that is just wants you to be poor. God, everywhere, when you read the Bible, once your mind is renewed and you don't have preconceived ideas or you don't come with your glass full, your cup full, you read the Bible and you realize everywhere God is speaking, He wants you to be blessed. Everywhere He's speaking, He wants you to have land. Everywhere He is speaking, He wants you to have properties, silk, gold. Nowhere does He glorify poverty. So now you can begin to build yourself up fresh by the Word of God. And let this church be a church where we preach the Word. We'll go to the Scripture. I haven't even started tonight, but we'll be quick. Are you guys with me? So say with me, power, and say the Holy Spirit. There's a difference. I want you to catch this. There's a difference. So before you comment and scream on there, and there's a difference. Go with me to Luke chapter number 1, verse 1. Luke chapter number 1, verse 1. Before we go to Psalm 110, verse 3. Psalm 110, verse 3. Zerana mambredo sudono. Bradono sede. Psalm 110, verse 3. Listen to this. Your people shall be volunteers. Say with you, volunteers. In the day of your power. How many are volunteers here? Raise your hands. Look at that. I'm speaking of actual volunteers. So a church will not lack in volunteers where there is power. But where there is no power, there'll be no volunteers. In another translation, it says, the King James says, your people shall be willing in the day of your power. Say with me, power. It doesn't say in the day of your love. It doesn't say in the day of your presence. It says in the day of your power. My people shall be willing. In the day of your power, there'll be many volunteers. People will willingly give themselves to serve in the kingdom. You would want to plant a church and there'll be people there. You want to do a work and there'll be people there. Are you guys with me? So why are we preaching on power and why is power necessary? It's so that there can be willing people and there can be volunteers. Are you guys with me? So the word power, if you look at the word power in the Greek, it's dunamis. But it has many a variety of meanings under dunamis. Dunamis is about a 5 to 7-fold meaning word. Are you guys with me? The first, so when I say I have power, I must have the following. Number one, I must have the power that is inherent ability of God in me. That's very difficult to interpret or to explain. But as an inherent strength and an ability. It's the second meaning of power of dunamis is that it is the power to perform miracles. That's it. Is the power to perform miracles. Meaning you'll be able to exert power by laying hands on somebody and perform. So with you perform miracles. Number three, it is a moral power and an excellence of the soul. Meaning that where the power and dunamis is, there will be excellence in everything that you are doing. Are you guys with me? I'm getting frustrated with this building because it's losing excellence, but it's against our will. It's getting old. When you outgrow something, your mind is further and your body is still there having to catch up. So I know where we are going. I know what is going to happen. And for your mind to be there and your body to be here is frustrating. Are you guys with me? And then we have 3/4 of the team being sick and everything like that. So it is an excellence. Meaning that when you carry dunamis, you will have excellence. The third meaning of power, or the fourth meaning, wherever we are right now, is the power of riches and wealth. And I'm taking it out of the Greek meaning. So the riches and wealth. Meaning where there's dunamis, there'll be riches and wealth. It will eventually catch up with you. When you have the power of the Holy Spirit and there's power in your words, there's power in your life. How does dunamis come? We're going to get to it. You have to tarry and wait for it until you are clothed. Power is a garment that comes on you. It is a baptizo. It is a garment. It is a clothing. It is only certain clothing that allows you to certain dimensions. Joshua was not allowed to stand in front of God innocent in the vision, Joshua the high priest, because his clothing was dirty. But when the angel came and changed his garments, he was allowed to stand in front of the Lord. So when you get a change of garments, you get a change of access into certain places. When you're baptized with the Holy Spirit and power, when power comes and clothes you, it is like a garment that comes upon you. It is like a clothing that rests on you like this. How do you get there? Say with me, wait. Say tarry. And the church has missed this because they think at the moment of the Holy Spirit baptism, now they have the power. But we have read the scripture wrong. Listen to me. So it is a power that is with riches and wealth. It is a power that arises. This is the fourth or fifth meaning. That arises from numbers. Say with me, numbers. You won't have a church of 20 people. You won't have a church of 10 people. After how many years? There will be numbers. I've seen how many people online. Churches online. They've been live streaming for 5 years and they still sit with 10 viewers. And it's like the camera is like this. And there's no excellence. There's no power. Are you guys with me? Then the last meaning, it is the power that consists of resting upon armies and forces. Meaning that when this dunamis comes on you, it'll be a militant power. Are you with me? Are you dead? Encounter, come now. Centurion is getting like familiar and familiar and familiar. We must break this witchcraft spirit. Familiarity breeds content. Familiarity cuts you from receiving any power. Go to Luke 1 verse 1. And it makes it so difficult because the senior pastor can't speak of familiarity, then they say it's biased. He just wants honor. He just wants self-worship. So it makes it difficult. But churches go through phases, but we must not get into a place of familiarity because familiarity will eliminate you from receiving the anointing. God is a God of honor. The anointing flows where there is honor. Inasmuch as many have taken in hand to set in order a narrative of those things which have been fulfilled among us. I'm just going to read to give an introduction. For just follow with me. Just as those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses, say with me, eyewitnesses, and ministers of the word delivered them to us. It seemed good to me also. Now this is Luke speaking and he's giving a report to his first letter to Theophilus. And he says, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write to you an orderly account, most excellent Theophilus, that you may know the certainty of those things in which you were instructed. So he's speaking, he's writing a letter. So the book of Luke is a report to Theophilus. Are you guys with me? It is a letter, it is an account that is writing. And this will get important because of where I'm going to go to. Go with me to Luke 24, verse 49. Now, we're still in this letter. Luke 24, verse 49. Behold. So he's writing to Theophilus. He's saying, behold, I send the promise of my Father. So with the promise. The promise is the Holy Spirit. Are you guys with me? So he's saying, I'm sending the Holy Ghost, the promise of my Father upon you. Speaking about Jesus, Jesus saying, I will send the Holy Ghost. So it wasn't God who sent the Holy Spirit, it was Jesus who sent the Holy Spirit. So he said, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But, say with me, but, tarry in the city. He says, I'll send you the Holy Spirit. But then afterwards, I want you to tarry in the city of Jerusalem until, say with me, until you are endued, you are clothed with power from on high. So he says, I will send you the Holy Ghost, but then I want you to wait also to be anointed with power. Now, are the two supposed to be together? Absolutely. But there's also a distinct difference. So these are two things that happens at the baptism, or is supposed to happen at the baptism, but it is not, because people receive the Holy Ghost. You cannot even worship God without the Holy Spirit. So they receive the Holy Spirit, but they're not receiving power. Maybe the one that is giving them, maybe the one that is laying hands, but they're confusing it because Jesus is the baptizer. But I want you to see the distinct difference in Scripture between the power and the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit and power is not the same thing. Say with me, tarry. Which means that, hey, I want you to wait here. You receive the Holy Spirit and all these things, but don't take one step. Don't make one move until you receive power. He's saying, I don't want you to go witness. I don't want you to go evangelize. I don't want you to go and minister. I want you to do nothing until power. Because otherwise you're going to go witness and you're not going to be my witness. You're going to go evangelize without power. Wait for power. Don't make one move. Don't make one step. Wait for power. Wait for power. Some of you wait for power. So this is why you'll see why it is important for church to be in a church where there's power. Religion has removed power and has given a form of power only, a form of godliness, but they deny the power. We've preached in churches and we cast out demons at the altar. Then the pastor comes and is like, you mustn't do this in the church. What are you talking about? It is the power of God. You don't want somebody to be set free. You resist the Holy Ghost, just like your forefathers have. Are you guys with me? Let's go to Acts 1, verse 1. Acts 1, verse 1. Please stay with me. You need to read the context of the Scripture so that it can formulate, because we're taking Scripture to interpret Scripture. And this is one of the correct ways. So now he's writing a second letter to Theophilus. So this is Luke again in the book of Acts, writing now a second account. He's saying, the former account I made, O Theophilus, the letter I wrote to you in Luke about the promise that my Father will, that I will send of my Father, the Holy Spirit, where Jesus said, I will send the Holy Spirit. And he told his disciples to wait in Jerusalem. Are you guys with me? So now Luke is saying, I told you that, Theophilus, and I'm writing to you again, a second account. O Theophilus, and I wrote you in the former account of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach. Next verse. Until the day in which he was taken up, after, say with me, after, he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen. He says, listen, in the first letter I wrote to you, Jesus gave commandments to the apostles. And this is what he said. To whom he also presented himself alive unto after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during the 40 days and speaking to the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Next verse. And being assembled together with them, he commanded his apostles, as I said to you in the book of Luke, do not depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, have heard from me. So he's saying, I told you in Luke to wait. I'm telling you again that this is what Jesus told his disciples and his followers, to wait for the promise. Are you guys with me? Jump for me to verse 8. Let's go verse 7. Next day, verse 8. Listen to this. But, put in the King James version for this one. But you shall receive power. Say with me, power. Comma. What does it say? Say after. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. Meaning the Holy Ghost will first come upon you, and then you will be anointed with power. But these are two distinct things that is happening. And you shall then be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in the nations of this world and in all the utter parts of the earth. But you shall wait first for power, which will come after the Holy Ghost. Are you guys with me? The word there to focus on is after. Because the New King James incorrectly translated, and they said, you shall receive power when the Holy Ghost comes upon you. And it is a wrong translation. It is, you shall receive power after. Why am I exaggerating on this? Because people justify themselves, but I have the Holy Spirit, so I have power. And if I pray for somebody and nothing happens, you know, there's no really real power. No, no, no. You haven't been anointed with power. You're anointed with the Holy Ghost. Are you guys with me? Tongues is not power. We say, I have the Holy Ghost, I can speak in tongues. Tongues is not power. Falling over is not power. Shaking is not power. So people want breakthrough. They want breakthrough in their church. They want breakthrough in ministry. They want breakthrough in their business. But they lack power. So go with me to Acts chapter number 6, verse 1. And I'm using scriptures to separate really and put a distinction between the two. And in those days when the number of the disciples was multiplying, listen to this, there arose a complaint against the Hebrews by the Hellenists because their widows were neglected in the daily distribution. Then the 12 summoned the multitude of the disciples and said, it is not desirable that we should leave the word of God to serve tables. Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you 7 men of good reputation. Now listen to this. Full of the Holy Spirit. Say, full of the Holy Spirit. And wisdom. So there's a difference between the Holy Spirit and wisdom. So when you get the Holy Ghost, you don't just suddenly get wisdom. You have to still get wisdom from God. And we may appoint over whom we may appoint over this business, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And the same pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man, say with you, full of faith and the Holy Spirit. Do you guys see the distinction? And you have the Holy Ghost and you have faith. And Philip, from Antioch, next verse, whom they said before, and when they had prayed, they laid hands on them. Go with me to Acts chapter number 8. First go into Acts 6 verse 8. Now listen to this. And Stephen, say with me, full of faith and power. So we see you have the Holy Spirit and wisdom. You have faith and the Holy Spirit. You have power and the Holy Spirit. So power is not the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is not power. The anointing is not the Holy Spirit. The anointing is a result of the Holy Spirit. Where there is Holy Spirit doesn't mean there is power, but where there is power definitely means there is Holy Spirit. Go with me to Acts 8, verse 5. Acts 8, verse 5. So listen to this. And Stephen, and then Philip went down in the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. And the multitudes with one accord heeded the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits crying with a loud voice came out of many who were possessed, and many who were paralyzed and lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city. So we see Stephen and Philip, they had the power and the Holy Spirit. But there were other of the seven that had the Holy Spirit but not power. So they chose seven. We see Stephen and Philip being preached about because they had power and they had the Holy Spirit. The others had the Holy Spirit, but not necessarily power of the seven that was chosen. Are you guys with me? When you have power, there'll be healings, there'll be deliverances. Let's go to Luke 1 verse... Oh no, wait, let's go to Acts 10 verse 38. Acts 10 verse 38. Now I'm going to make it clearer and clearer and clearer for you in Scripture. How God, now let's see what God is saying. How God anointed, say with me, anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. Let me read it to you the correct order. How Jesus anointed the Holy Spirit. How God anointed Jesus and, with the Holy Spirit. So let me read it like this. How God anointed Jesus with the Holy Spirit and anointed him with power. So there were two anointings. There was anointing with the Holy Ghost and he anointed him with power. And because he had power, because he had the Holy Spirit, he went about doing good. But because he had power, he went about healing all who were oppressed by the devil. For God was with him. So you have the Holy Ghost and you have power. Because I see too many churches that are saying they're filled with the Holy Spirit, but they lack power. Are you guys with me? Now, power is a result of the Holy Spirit. But power is not the Holy Spirit. There's a distinction. A lot of people settle for the person of the Holy Spirit, but not the power. So they settle for the relationship, but they don't carry power. Power must be stirred. Power is an anointing, to be anointed with power. The anointing of God is the power of God. When we say that somebody is anointed, they carry power to do a work. Are you guys with me? This might seem like a simple thing that we have tonight, and I think we have 320 people or so here tonight. And it might seem like a small thing because you're used to this. It's not a small thing. This is in the middle of holiday, in the middle of winter. And if it was a normal night, our building would be too small. Churches are usually empty on a Sunday night. Trust me. Because Sunday night proves power. It is. Where the anointing is on a Sunday night, there are people there. I have actually considered, but we won't do it. We won't do it. I have considered actually not to have a Sunday evening service. Not because of power, but because I wanted a long Sunday morning service where you can teach proper revelation, not rush it, and then pray for people, and then they have off. But then you're going to have people flocking to other churches, and they're going to be enticed and seduced by other ministers, and they're going to be blah, 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 blah. So, you know, we'll just carry on as we are right now. But Sunday, I'm not too fazed about numbers, because those who come, even though we're always full on a Sunday night, if those who come, I know they are hungry. It's unusual, even for Americans, to think that people go twice to church on a Sunday. You know, in South Africa, it is a practice. It is normal. So, why do we need power? Why do we need dunamis? Why do we need this distinction? We understand the Holy Spirit, but we also need power. Why do we need power? Because it makes people willing. It makes them volunteers. Where there's power, people will willingly give themselves. They will willfully volunteer. Are you guys with me? In the house of God. I mean, 3 years back, we already had like 300, 200, over 200 volunteers. We now have a lot also, but also remember our church multiplied. So we planted Krugersdorp 2.5 years ago. Many of our people went there. Everybody's moving to Cape Town anyway. Let's leave that one alone. But what is happening? People are volunteering. And, you know, now we are going through, we're actually supposed to go to 2 Sunday morning services, but building Krugersdorp also strong, so we'll keep this one, but we will definitely in the next year possibly move to 2 Sunday morning, a year and a half to 2 Sunday morning services a year, so that we can get ready for when God has ordained for our move to come. But a church that grows is a church that has power. A church that doesn't grow is a church that lacks power. Are you guys with me? Even in my own life, if things are not growing, I have to check what is the level of power that there is. Power comes by relationship. So I need first the Holy Spirit. Then power will come. Because he said, receive the Holy Ghost. And after you receive the Holy Ghost, tarry. Say with me, tarry. Wait. Serve. Present your body a holy and living sacrifice. Renew your mind. Tarry and wait. And there are different meanings. This word tarry means to serve. It also means to wait in relationship and intimacy with God. To kava, to wait. That those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings of eagles. Enoch walked with God and suddenly was not. The word walked and suddenly was not, for God took him. The word took is also kava. It means to wait upon God, to become one with him. So the word to wait and to tarry means to stay in a place of service to God, serving in the local church, but also praying and connected to God until I am endued with power, until I'm clothed. And you will know when you have power. People will know when you have power. Power speaks. Power has results. Power has impartation. Power always multiplies itself. There can be people online that can catch power. They can be imparted to online. There can be people here. We can pray and lay hands on them once and there's power. They can be imparted to them. But power is not questioned. Power. Are you guys with me? Power has results. Power is not questioned. Where the authentic power of God is, many question the source, and religious people will question the source of authentic power because it won't make sense to them. When somebody can't walk and then suddenly they can walk, it's power. So what is dunamis? It is the power to perform miracles. You need power to be a witness, to be an evangelist. You cannot be on the streets and witness without power. You need dunamis. You need the power to perform miracles. Are you guys with me? If witches and sorcerers and warlocks and witch doctors can do this and perform power, why is the church not in a place where there's power? Say with me, I receive power to perform miracles. So I receive dunamis. I wait, I tarry until I am clothed with power from on high. And the church has made this mistake. Have you seen the church has made this mistake? Where we only preach about it on Pentecost. I didn't even preach on the power at Pentecost. We preach on the glory, not on the power of the Holy Ghost. Because it is a religion and a tradition where we just, okay, it's the outpouring. Let's focus, let's preach Acts chapter number 2. And every church you go to Pentecost is Acts chapter number 2. Pentecost is not a denomination. It was just the day that it happened, the power was poured out. Are you guys with me? So let's go further. Let's go to 2 Timothy 3 verse 5. Where you have power, church and numbers will never be an issue. I mean, we're busy with huge projects, and like I said, it'll be revealed to you soon. But if you look at the numbers, it is, you cannot look at that numbers outside of the grace of God and the call of God and the power of the Holy Spirit. Trust me. So there's no way we're going to pull off what we can without the power of the Holy Spirit. And if we pull it off, or when we pull it off, it will only be God. It's nothing of man. So churches grow that has power. Where there is power, numbers will never be an issue. If many people come into Cape Town, and when we do our conferences, there's really packed out. I mean, it's a bigger building, so yours are squashed in. So you can either be legalized or not legalized. And many people have started churches that are not legalized in the Spirit. They are not backed by heaven, backed by an authority, backed by a covering. If people know what we have gone through to start this work encounter, how many times we were betrayed by even our spiritual family, betrayed by people. How many ministers are trying to crucify the prophets in this nation? Where are the prophets? Oh, I shouldn't be saying this online, because now they're going to be popping up all over and be upset. Obviously. But I don't think you can give me more than four names that has a public ministry. I understand there are thousands that are hidden. I understand. Elijah, there are 7,000 other prophets that has not bowed their knee. But name me more than four or five in this nation that has a public ministry that has not been attacked. You can't even name four. That has not gone into a cave. And his ministry has not been embraced. Now, we haven't been embraced, but we have survived up until now. But this nation hates prophets. You get to America, there are many prophets. Many prophets. You get to South Africa, it's like, where are the prophets? I have prophets of other nations and councils of other countries, of prophetic councils that ask me, okay, what prophets are these other? I'm like, what do I say? There's no one, because the church hates them. Why? Because they are speaking from heaven. And when they are speaking, then they're like, no, these are heretics, these are witches. No. A prophet, do you know what a blessing a prophet is in your life? You might not know it, but if you are connected to a prophet, trust me, God can speak to that prophet. And if he doesn't speak to you through the prophet, things are fine. Don't worry about it. A lot of people just want prophecy, prophecy, prophecy. Don't look for something if there's not a problem. Are you guys with me? Don't look for something where if God will speak, if you're connected to me, God will speak to me and warn you. If he doesn't, he'll speak to you through other ways. But while you are there, there's protection, there's safety. Trust me. And prophets usually don't have mega churches. Let me just explain this thing also. Usually where you'll see where prophets are, it is the very unknown if they have very large churches. Prophets are usually, they pioneer a lot of, like, they're not a voice for mega churches. And this I've been told, I remember, by a lot of senior prophets, they'll tell me, never try to look as a prophet for us, even though we will have a mega church, however you want to term it. But God has given me the exact number that we will have. And then it will be grown out from there, and it'll be churches will be planted and so on. But a prophetic voice goes beyond just wanting the crowds. It is a voice that has another purpose to it. Don't make me an evangelist. I'm not an evangelist. It is very difficult for me to try to win a soul. Can I do it? Yes, I can do it. But God has anointed me to be here at a stage, and then he can bring the lost in here. That is how callings work. But for Gerard, Pastor Gerard, it might be easy on the street just to go and talk to somebody, because that is his grace. But should we all be an evangelist? Yes, we all should be able to do the work of an evangelist. Are you guys with me? But if I have to shut this down and change my calling to that, everything will crash. Because it's not the gift, it's not the personality that God has given me. A lost person might not listen to me out on the street, but they might listen in here. Even in the conference here, there were people that was in that section that were unbelievers, and the glory of God fell on them without them giving their hearts to the Lord. the presence became so strong they couldn't deny it. They might walk, I could have done an altar call, I should have. But I promise you, they'll not forget that encounter. Why? Because I'm in my place here. It is not even God's will for me to travel, believe it or not. The only reason I am traveling is to just stay a little bit relevant. But I know exactly where God has called me. I'll be like the Apostle Paul that has said that I'm a bond servant. I am bound in chains until I fulfill assignment, which is what God has given me here by the angel of the Lord. Visited me by an angel to tell me to plant this work. And maybe we see the fruits of 30 years. We've already, in 6 years, we already planted 3 churches. Great churches, not cell groups. So God has blessed this with numbers. God has blessed it with His backing. The power of the Holy Spirit is there. Don't ever let a voice come to you to tell you you're in the wrong place. What nonsense. You must run after power. Listen to me. These people that are saying, don't go run after these churches that is just power, power. No, they're saying that because they don't have power. I don't think I've ever said, don't go after power. We've had people, there have been ministries in the city that has a lot of power, and our people would go and visit them. Our staff would go and visit. I don't care. Are you guys with me? If Benny Hinn comes, please go get some importation. We're not speaking about church shopping, just we're embracing the power of God. Somebody told the story that one pastor said, are you stealing my sheep? You know, to another pastor said, you're stealing my sheep. And the pastor just says, no, man, look, when they came to the fence, they were so thin. They jumped through. And I just fed them properly. And then they were too fat to go back. They couldn't go back. So all you do is just feed them properly. Okay. Go there to 2 Timothy 3:5 on the screen. So they say, run off the church, don't run off the power. Paul is saying the exact opposite. Listen to this. He's saying, having a form of godliness, but denying its power. He says, there are churches that has a form of power, but they deny it. They don't have it. They act like they have the anointing. But when you truly get in the middle, can you break my yoke? No, you can't. Can you break this bondage on me? No, you can't. The oil is not there. It's the anointing oil that destroys the yoke. Where the oil is not flowing, the yoke is not destroyed. People come in with yokes and people leave with yokes. But where there's a fresh oil, yokes are destroyed. Heaven, when oil comes from heaven, yokes, bondages are destroyed. You walk out and you feel refreshed. You feel uplifted. It is the oil of heaven. It is a fresh anointing. Where there is power, yokes will be destroyed. Are you guys with me? So Paul is saying there are people that have a form of godliness, but they don't have power. And those who have a form but don't have power, run away from them. Meaning, run to those who have power and run away from those who have a form but has no power. I don't know if you hear what I'm saying. Meaning, run to a church that carries power. If you see people are being set free, people are being changed, run to that place. Don't be in a dead place where nothing is happening. From such people, run away. Say with you, run away. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 4. And I'm still arguing my point here. Spirit and power. 1 Corinthians chapter number 2, verse 4. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and the power. My speech was in a demonstration of the Holy Ghost and in another demonstration of power. And he is the Holy Spirit and power. So that your faith may not be in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God. Are you guys with me? Let's go further. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 4 verse 18. 1 Corinthians 4 verse 18. We'll be finished now. I hope you're receiving. I hope people are receiving something. Now, Paul is speaking here about apostles who are saying that they're apostles, but they are not. They don't have the power to back it up. And he's speaking to the Corinthian church, and he says that some have come in and they say they are apostles, but they are not. So he says, now some are puffed up as though I were not coming to you. But I will come to you shortly if the Lord wills. And I will know not the word of those who are puffed up. He says, I will not going to be those who only say they have power, but I'm going to come to you in a demonstration of the power. Not those who are puffed up, but I'm going to come to you in power. For the kingdom of God is not in words, but in power. So don't stop at the Holy Spirit. Go for power. When the Holy Ghost comes upon you, wait and tarry in the Jerusalem. Wait and tarry in the place where you receive the Holy Ghost until power comes on you. Because the kingdom of God is not in words, but in power. Say with me, the kingdom of God is power. The church is power. Listen here, where Jesus says, where I cast out devils, the kingdom of God has come upon you. Mean that where there's power, there's the kingdom. Where there's no power, there's no kingdom. May there be power in this place. Even by the preaching of our words, be it like Peter, that as we preach, may power fall upon you. As we preach, may power be imparted to you. May power break down bondages. May power destroy yokes. May power be dunamis, increase riches and wealth upon you. May there be a change in your finances. May there be a change in your atmospheres. The atmosphere in your house. The atmosphere in your family. The atmosphere in your business. May power, the power of the Holy Ghost, say, I shall receive power after the Holy Ghost comes upon me.